This week in your parents' basement, we're intrigued. Ah, damn it.
Take two.
No shears.
This week in your parents' basement, we're irrigating our fields, building roads, and going to war in the classic one more turn game, Civilization. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is regular co-host Sewell Hauser. Once the rockets go up, he doesn't care where they come down.
You know, I usually try to find a quote from the manual for this, but ever since graduating, I don't like reading textbooks.
All right, then. And our other co-host, he thinks we can all agree on one thing, that the past is over. It's Todd Brisket.
If there hadn't been women, we'd still be squatting in a cave eating raw meat because we made Civilization in order to impress our girlfriends.
Okay. Today we're joined by a special guest. She's one of my friends from college, and she's a big fan of Civilization, Western, Eastern, and the game series as well. She believes that to achieve great things, two things are needed, a plan and not enough time. It's my pal, Amanda.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Good.
Not bad. You can reach us by... I thought Todd was going to answer. She said guys.
Oh, I mean, fantastic.
All right. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. Mario needs our help to repair the Star Road. Today's game is Civilization from 1991. In 1989, two employees of MicroProse got the bug for the God game genre, popularized by SimCity and Populous. These two guys, Sid Meier and Bruce Shelley, first released a cute little game called Railroad Tycoon in 1990. But their magnum opus was Civilization, released with minimal support and publicity from the rest of MicroProse, which wanted to focus on war games and flight simulators, those popular genres. In contrast, Civilization was about city building, diplomacy, and invention far more than combat. It was an immediate critical and commercial success upon its release for the PC around September 1991, and it's been ported to more than a dozen different things in the ensuing years. Amanda, you happily volunteered to guest on the show when you learned we were covering Civilization. While I don't think you were old enough to play this one when it first came out, why don't you talk about your experience with the series and what it was like to play this old relic this week?
Yeah, I was not old enough to play the original. So my first actual experience with Civilization was Civilization 2. It was sort of in a long, extensive library of educational parental approved video games that I was allowed as a child. we had a very strict upbringing. Civ 2, I was more sort of intrigued by the instant gratification of unlocking different technologies and building really cool cities, and never really got into the war or the conquering component of the game, which is really like a huge element to it. I guess, you know, more recently got into that with 4 and 5 and hopefully 6 in the near future. but yeah, no, I was definitely a childhood favorite.
See, I was the same way with the series back in the day. Like, I could care less about the combat, but I really liked building the old cities up. How about you, Huel? Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just want to say it's interesting she called it the instant gratification of unlocking technologies, because yeah. This is one of the slowest games possibly ever.
Yeah, but you get like so many celebrations, right? So like if you unlock a technology, you get like banners and triumphant music and like
that is
cool
true.
Graphic and you just kind of collect all of those congratulations as you go.
So it's the gratification of actually unlocking it.
Yeah.
Not the steps that it takes to get there.
It makes you feel like you personally have discovered geography.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I discovered plastics.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I
never played the first few. I think the first one I might have played was 4. Mm-hmm. But I do have 5 currently, and I've never completed a game of it.
Even completed a game on 5?
Nah.
Because like with Civ 1, right, you win, you either conquer all the other civilizations or you get to space first. But by the time 5 rolled around, I keep accidentally winning on culture and I don't even know what that means.
Now, it's not that I've lost. It's that I've never completed the game.
You know, there's different settings you can put this thing on. You can put it like speed. I'm not talking about a simple, easy setting. I'm talking about speed. Like you can change it to where a technology will be researched in 2 turns instead of 20.
Now, what I did play a lot of was Civilization Revolution, which was the console version, and that was a lot more streamlined. And I really did like that because you could finish a game in probably 4 or 5 hours.
Mm. Well, that makes more sense to me. That maybe you focus more on that game than Civ 5.
Due to my impossible to corral attention span, yes.
Hill doesn't like games where you have to use your brain. You have to think.
No. Plan it.
He doesn't like it.
Do you, though, with Civ 5? Like, Civ 5, there's so many things that are now automated where going back this week to play Civ 1, I was like, oh, boy. I really liked playing this game as a kid, but it is a bit of a slog now.
Yeah, you're only moving like 1 square at a time. You run into a house and find some warrior guys that then you have to move those around. You're like, oh boy.
Auto Explorer.
What's that?
The Auto Explorer.
What is that?
What is that?
I asked you.
I think they added it in 4 or 5 where you just have your scout at the beginning and you hit the button and then they just explore the map for you.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Help me for number 1.
Yeah. No, 1 is brutal in that regard, since pretty much for the first, like, hour or two of the game, like, you only have units that can move, like, 1 square. Oh, God.
Yeah, you said it was a massive success when it was released, and I just... It must be, like, of the time, because I could not imagine anyone enjoying this game.
Well, I mean, you have to realize, like, its competitors were, like, SimCity, which, you know, was also a really cool simulation game, but it was, you know, kind of completely different from this. Like, they were going for different areas, and I don't know, Civilization is a more active game than, you know, that, like SimCity and SimAnt and stuff like that.
SimAnt.
Yeah, I imagine that the kind of people who were really into Civ 1 were people who enjoyed playing really long games of Risk but couldn't get anybody to play with them.
Yes.
I'm looking in the mirror right now.
And Stephen Greenwell.
Oh, how dare you. What
you said you liked it.
I did. And even worse, like the version I had as a kid, well, I rented it several times, was there's
That's your go-to move.
There was a Super Nintendo version of Civilization.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's I think
that's the one I played. Never mind.
Well, the graphics are slightly better than, like, I think the base CD game, the base PC game was way back when. But it is so slow. Like, it's the only cartridge game I've seen that has, like, load times.
And it was a long load time.
Yeah, like
to start the game, it was like 2 minutes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. To start the game, and then when you're actually playing, like, Huel, I'm assuming you probably clocked out after, you know, messing around for a half an hour or so. But
I built 3 cities. I explored most Dudeville. Of the island.
Cool guy town. And what's the third one called?
I think it was Asshole was my main city. Okay. The first one I founded. And I think it was P was number two.
Whoa.
Which it should have been number one.
Yeah.
And I forget the third one. Like Fart Town, I don't know.
You just got lazy with that third one, clearly.
Yeah.
And which civilization was that?
I was Mongolian.
Oh, well, yeah. You had a bad batch of Mongolian beef, that of course. Makes sense.
Oh, boy.
No, the problem with the Super Nintendo version is once you get deep into the game and suddenly there's a lot of units on the map, like everything just slows down. And especially if you don't turn off things like show enemy moves, and if you're playing versus like six or seven different players, like it, Super Nintendo was not a happy machine at that point.
So. I'm surprised they even pulled that off.
Yeah, it's. I think it does work with the mouse. I find it easier just to, you know, use a controller. But no, it's an okay port. It's not horrible. It works best if you just keep it to one-on-one or one-on-two games. So. But yeah, my first experience with the series was I played one on Super Nintendo, then I think it was four. Was free with Gamefly for a long time. I'm not sure why. But so I got four and I bought five. And I'll be buying six at some point when I guess
what
when
about
I have a week free.
What about Beyond Earth?
Oh.
As the kids say.
As the kids say? They say that?
Yeah.
I checked into that for a little bit.
But it's a game.
Yeah.
I thought Todd was just asking a philosophical question.
No. He's not talking about what you do once you reach space, but.
Okay.
Todd, is that the one that came out like 2 or 3 years ago or the one that came out like 20 years ago?
No, this is the one 2 or 3 years ago that came out after five. Had all the hype behind it. Man, this is going to be civilization on the moon. And,
nice.
And it turns out people didn't care for it that much.
Oh. I've played it, but my computer does not care for it that much.
Oh.
Like, it's significantly slower to play that versus Civ 5. So I've only played, like, I don't know, half an hour of it once.
It's pretty much a reskin of 5. Instead of harvesting dyes, you're harvesting... spaceman, gizzard, or whatever.
Yeah, that was my brief impression of it, which kind of turned me off. It's like, oh, well, this is just like getting resources from Civ, except I have no clue what they are, like what applied plutonium is.
Yeah, everything's purple.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's from the future.
Yeah. It's like if Civ and Spore had a baby.
Ugh.
Yeah, Amanda, how much did you try playing of the original Civ this week? Were you able to give it a shot?
Yeah, I was able to give it a little bit of a shot, and I feel like I don't really remember it being quite that boring. So that was sort of an interesting refresher. it sort of all started coming back to me. It was. Very nostalgic time this week.
How does the first one differ from a Civ 2? Is there like a huge gap in quality between them? Because 2 is oddly the one I have no experience with, even though I think it's, you know, the most popular one in a way.
Yeah, there is, because I want to say it came out in 95 or 96. And so sort of even in those 5 years, the graphics quality... really, really picked up. But the games themselves are actually probably much more similar than I would say comparing to other future iterations of the game. I think they added in some new technologies and some more civilizations, some more female characters for
more
all you
wonders.
Feminists listening.
Oh, yeah. Who did who did everyone else play as? Like, I always play as America because I am a true patriot.
So for the sake of Civ 1 and 2, I pretty much consistently played as Elizabeth because I identified with the strong female character. Mm-hmm. But in the later iterations, you get sort of different advantages depending on who you are. So then I usually try to play as like some warlord like Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
in the first game, the different civilizations just have different parts of the tech tree unlocked at the start of the game. That's the only difference.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I couldn't find any mention of that, like when I was trying to determine who I wanted to play as. So,
man, that reminds me of why I think I never finish one of the Civ games. Is like I'm always in a panic that I'm going to pick the wrong like branch to go down. Like if I had just done this, I could have won, or I could have got this over here.
I should have been the Greeks.
Not even that, but like, do I research currency or woodworking? Like I don't know.
It depends on what you're going for.
Know what it means.
There's actually like a diagram on the internet of sort of all the different tech trees to, I think, help you sort of plan it. But it's quite overwhelming,
right,
actually.
But if I want to play a game, I don't want to have like 14 resources open and
guessing
all my decisions.
This is like we said before, you don't like games where you have to use your brain.
Yes.
You have to use a brain or something. So you have to plan ahead. Hey, man, are you going to get them guns? Are you going to shoot people? Or are you gonna build some wonders? You need some money for construction. So you gotta plan ahead.
Let's say I do wanna go for the wonders, then that still doesn't really help me decide what weird technology to research. Do I research buildings?
No, you research masonry and you get better stone gathering.
To find them? I don't know.
And the wonders are tough too, because I feel that every time I'll be finally a move away from completing a wonder, and then someone else does it first.
And then you just wasted
20 turns trying to build the hanging gardens.
That's what I mean. It just feels like a waste sometimes. It's like I could have been doing something else better. And then the other thing about the wonders is that damn song gets stuck in your head all the time.
Oh, I felt that way about, like, all of the music in this game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one has, like, one track, apparently.
Yeah.
And it's nonstop.
Yeah, well, I think it changes slightly as you advance in the game, like, as you get into different ages, but that's about it.
Yeah, never got that far.
I played with the sound off.
Yeah, I like, 2 minutes in, I'm like, there's no more sound. I'm done.
Oh, I needed to experience it, you know, like, as I was meant to.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm such a staunch reader of manuals and things like that, I figured I had to leave the sound on.
You experienced it in its day, so you got yourself some Surge. turned on
Surge.
Batman the Animated Series.
All right, that's at least from the same time frame. Surge.
played yourself some Civ.
Surge came out in 97, which Google tells me.
Oh, I thought that was just off the top of your head.
No.
I know that Surge wasn't released until 1997.
Please,
you're not going to get that.
He has his soda water timeline charted out on his wall there.
I really should do a soda tech tree, since soda flavors come up far too much on this show.
Yeah,
did we talk about it? For
that and 9/11. What is the deal?
That's your fault, man. Or the reviewers of the Horde's fault.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. So anyways, this is a pretty good game. I mean, it was, It was super slow, but I still spent way more time on this game than I have several of our other ones, which is somewhat sad since I was playing it on my computer, which also has Civilization V on it. So,
oh, it's like a time machine.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make Civ V a little jealous that I was stepping out on it.
Oh, he saw you
with his mother.
Like what? Grandmother, great grandmother.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was showing Elizabeth how to make the wheel. That's what I was doing.
So, don't know what that means.
I don't know either, really. Brisket, how long did you play this one this week?
Oh, I popped it on for like 5 minutes. I was like, I get it. I spend way too much time in 3, 4, 5, and 6. Someday I'll be spending too much time in there. I know where it came from.
There was nothing happening.
All I could think of while I was playing it though is how so much better the best game of all time is compared to Civ.
Oh, what would that be?
Which is, it's a little indie joint called Crusader Kings 2, which is the best.
Oh.
The best strategy game of all time.
It's the first I'm hearing of it.
Yeah,
that's never been a
That's
topic.
All I could think about while I was playing. It's like I'd rather be playing, some CK2, as they say on the streets.
I think I'm safe in saying that. I don't think Crusader Kings 2 has ever been mentioned on the streets. Like, ever.
Yeah, like, I think it's only on, like, message boards and Reddit. And
yeah, it's probably, like, least mentions is probably, like, Crusader Kings 2, Surge flavor pricing, and I don't know.
The release date of Surge.
Sex in the City.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something that's not popular with urban teens.
Your parents' basement podcast.
No, that's probably true as well. But I don't know. The Ringer had an article about that today. Apparently, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was like the number one show with a certain demographic, but not in the top 50 of another. Hmm. Also, Seinfeld was not in the top 80 for a certain demographic. Good for them.
That's weird.
Yep. Anyways, I don't know. We run into this problem whenever we cover a game that's kind of good, which is, all right, yeah, it was good. This one... Yep. This first game is not easy to play, but pretty much all of the other games in the series, like, we've all put way too much time into. Like, I think my Steam timer for 5 is like way over 100 hours. So,
oh boy,
impressive.
It's impressive in a way. So
I don't know how. I think
you gotta learn the ins. You gotta play and learn the ins of in and outs of every civilization. You gotta go up the. Up and down every tech tree, you gotta play all the scenarios. There's like, cheeves in there, man. They give you cheeves on these scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's always a plus.
Yeah. First off, I absolutely have done things in this game solely to get achievements. It's basically the perfect game for when I want to watch TV, which is as odd as that sounds. Like, I just, I can watch something in the background and play Civ 5. Multitask a little bit. Watch.
I can't use my brain like that, man.
he told me this offline. It's also good when you want to make time with your lady.
Okay.
Civ 5?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Netflix.
Do you watch Netflix?
Yeah, I watch Netflix all the time.
Oh, cool.
Netflix is my favorite TV show.
Me too.
I like watching things on Netflix.
Yes, yes. See, Amanda, Huell has a thing where he really hates when people mention that they watch Netflix because you can't watch Netflix. You watch something on Netflix. Like,
it infuriates me.
No, I watch Netflix. I just scroll through all the options because I can't.
Oh.
So I do watch Netflix.
Oh, you watch, like, those preview videos and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's the Netflix game. I also play the Netflix game quite a bit, where it's basically you and another person just argue for 30 minutes about what you want to watch.
Mm.
And then someone finally gives in.
Yeah, yeah. I do that as well. It's good now. They let you have separate profiles, so at least like you're getting recommendations that are kind of actually targeted towards you and like not your husband who mooches off your account.
Oh, right.
Well, I really...
It's never let me down.
I really should do that since, I don't know, it'd probably avoid me getting so many recommendations based on the Gilmore Girls. So, anyways, I have a little thing about the history of Civ here. I guess I can read it. We put this game on the schedule for this week because Civ 6 came out on Friday. Well, we're actually recording this before it comes out, so hopefully it actually does come out. Because if not, this is all going to be very confusing. I don't think any of us are buying it for the first week, but that's because we are all old and lame now, and we can't afford to get obsessed with it. After the first game of the series, Civilization has had regular sequels every couple of years that expand and refine the gameplay. The series switched from a square grid to hexagons with the fifth installment, and new releases have also tweaked the combat mechanics to eliminate stacking and to make the technology more balanced. After the original game was released in 1991, Microprose's Bill Steely still didn't see the gold mine the company had. He pushed for the development of arcade and console games that drained the company of money. Shelley left the company in 1992, and he would go on to create the Age of Empires series for Ensemble. Microprose was bought by Spectrum Hollow Byte in 1993, and Civ 2 eventually came out in 1996. Near the release date, Spectrum and Microprose formally merged and used the Microprose name going forward. However, disputes with Microprose management caused Sid Meier to leave the company, creating I don't know how to say this. Brisket, Fire Axis,
yeah.
All right. I've never actually had to say it out loud before, I realized. Fire Axis has released Civ.
You just completely ignored what he said.
Is it Fire Axis? Fire Axis?
You asked him, he answered you, and you just said something else.
Well, this company has also released Civ 3, 4, 5, and 6. In the late 1990s, there was squabbling over the Civ name between Microprose and Activision, but Infogrames ended the dispute with a $100 million purchase in 2001, which included the rights to Microprose, Atari, and other companies. Take-Two purchased the publishing rights for Civilization for $22 million in 2004, and then bought that company for $26.7 million in 2005. So that's the history of the series.
Well, look at that.
Yep, it's been pretty stable for the last 10 years. Fire Axis or whatever it's called, they also do the XCOM games, which I think Huley, you like that?
Big fan.
So they're doing pretty well for themselves at this point. Just focusing on their little niche.
They got their franchises. Mm-hmm. They're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's that.
There we go.
I don't know, dude. Amanda, do you have any more thoughts about the game this week?
No, I'm excited to play 6. I unfortunately operate on a Macintosh computer, so there is no release date in sight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I don't know when I'm going to get to play it, but I it was good to go back and revisit an older version.
I'm sure playing Civ 1 will hold you over until then.
I'm sure it will.
Oh, I didn't realize that they came out at different times.
Yeah, I'm not really sure sort of what the deal with that is, but I, as a Mac user, I'm sort of just used to it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez. Well, I knew that you know, a lot of games take a while to get over to Macintosh, but I figured, oh, it's Civ. They'll do both. But, that's unfortunate. Well, Huel, you have any thoughts here about Civ?
No.
All right then.
It's a game and you play it.
You clickety clack and you move stuff around.
It's okay. I know this one didn't have as much story as you normally like. You have to.
This is the most shallow game we've ever played for sure.
Mm-hmm. Brisket, how about you? Did you have anything else to say about this one?
Nothing about the game itself, but I do have a little video game theater.
What?
Oh.
Digging around on the internet, trying to do some research for this shallow game, as Huel says, and found out that back in the early 90s, they wanted to make a movie out of this video game, what? Civilization the Movie.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is, it wasn't about bringing up civilizations, it was about the leader's personal lives. And so they didn't, obviously they didn't go through and complete the movie, but I did find the script for it. Mm-hmm. And I thought we'd read a scene and let the audience in on a little behind the scenes on what it would have been.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay. I think
I'm just now getting the script. Yes.
Well, this is going to be like a table read.
Yeah, this is a table read. This is for the people. We're not going to film this, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put on my dress for the folks out there.
Well, I don't know if it goes well here. Maybe we can take it to some of the bigger rooms. We could take it to Des Moines. We could take it to Spokane. We could take it to Augusta. Like, sure. Let's not close the door on this.
You got okay, Asheville. Yeah. You got Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of big venues.
There's a lot of community theaters out there.
Yeah.
So. Oh, maybe, as always,
maybe even
Steve's going to be the narrator.
Okay. Yep.
Per usual.
Okay.
Amanda will be Elizabeth the First, and Huel is going to be Hammurabi.
Hammurabi.
That's another one of those words I've never heard said out loud. Yes. And I am going to be Napoleon.
Okay.
Okay.
Familiar with some of these? Okay. Let me just get into my happy place. All right. Interior. Bonaparte House. Dining room. Napoleon sits at the table in sloppy clothes, eating his dinner and drinking beer from a bottle. Across from him, Hammurabi picks at his food, watching him with contempt. We hear the back door slam. Then Elizabeth I enters and quickly takes her seat at the table.
Sorry, I'm late.
No, no, that's quite all right, dear. Your father and I were just discussing his day at work. Why don't you tell our daughter about it, honey?
Elizabeth stares at both her parents apprehensively. Napoleon looks at Hammurabi darkly and flashes a "you asked for it" grin.
Elizabeth, today I quit my job. And then I told my bum. So, and then I blackmailed him for almost $60,000. Pass the asparagus.
Your father seems to think this is a kind of behavior is something to be proud of.
And your mother seems to prefer I go through life like a prisoner while she keeps my dick in a mason jar under the sink.
How dare you speak to me that way in front of her? And I marvel that you can be so contemptuous of me on the same day that you lose your job.
Lose it? I didn't lose it. It's not like, oops, where'd my job go? I quit. Someone please pass me this asparagus.
Oh, and I want want to thank you for putting me under the added pressure of being the sole breadwinner now.
I already have a job.
No, no, no. Give me a second thought as to who's going to pay the mortgage. We'll just leave it all up to Hammurabi. You mean you're going to take care of everything now, Hammurabi? Yes, I don't mind. I really don't. You mean everything? You don't mind having the sole responsibility? Your husband feels he could just quit his job.
Will somebody please pass me asparagus?
Okay, I am not going to be a part of this.
Sit down!
Elizabeth does so, surprised and intimidated by the power in his voice. Napoleon gets up, crosses to the other side of the table to get a plate of asparagus, then sits again as he serves himself.
I'm sick and tired of being treated like I don't exist. You two do whatever you want whenever you want to do it, and I don't complain. All I want is the same courtesy.
Oh, you don't complain? Oh, excuse me. Excuse me, I must be psychotic then, if you don't complain. What is this? Yeah, let's bring in the laugh meter, see how loud it gets. You don't complain.
Napoleon hurls the plate of asparagus against the wall with such force, it shatters, frightening Hammurabi and Elizabeth.
Don't interrupt me, honey.
He goes back to eating his meal, as if nothing unusual has happened. Hammurabi sits in her chair, shivering with rage. Elizabeth just stares at the plate in front of her.
Oh, and another thing. From now on, we're going to alternate our dinner music. Because frankly, and I don't think I'm alone here, I'm really tired of this Lawrence Welk.
There.
And scene. Oof, that was powerful.
That was intense. That was one of the most intense scenes we've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this would have been a very different game.
But yeah, it kind of, you know, it kind of reminded me if Bill and Ted was a drama. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it captured the tension of what would have been Bill and Ted's relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, really translated it into the plight that world leaders face on a daily basis.
Yes. I think one thing is clear is that the director really needs to give the one person who actually did an accent a larger part next time.
That's true.
Someone prepared like hell for two lines. And meanwhile,
I mean, it's a lot easier. There's only two lines.
Well, I mean, it really pulled some gravity into the situation, and I think it spoke to the character.
Mm. Yes.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Call me back anytime for future scene readings, shows, Broadway plays, whatever.
Mm-hmm. We'll be workshopping.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to take this to a different, some of the smaller rooms besides the ones we've already talked about, you know, Amherst, Kingston.
Ah, Kingston.
Maybe
Roanoke.
Yeah, Roanoke. Roanoke. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if Roanoke will have us, we can bring it there. But
you never know.
Yeah. Well, that was very dramatic. Let's mellow out with some emails now. Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
For once in my life, I did.
It's rare.
So on last week's show, we asked people to send any asks they wanted to Tony.
Friend of the show,
Tony.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And he happens to be a doctor of some kind. And he apparently received at least one email because he forwarded me his response, and he wanted me to read it on air.
Okay.
So he writes, the question is, do I have a God complex? Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school, or if you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England, and I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from postoperative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, and you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, when he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God. Friend of the show, Tony. P.S. Great show last week, fellas. I made it to 27 super jumps.
Oh, oh wow. Nice. It's quite an accomplishment.
That's, yeah.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, he didn't really have a question, so I guess we can just say thanks.
It's more an answer yeah. to an ask that he got.
Okay.
And I'm guessing someone asked him if he was God. That was
some lawyer did.
The gist that I got from that.
Yeah.
I can only guess who that was.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right then. Huel, did you receive any emails?
I did, in fact, receive an email just today.
Oh.
And I will read that email now.
Ooh.
It says, "Dear podcast hosts, I'm concerned for my son once again, and once again I feel you're the only ones I can turn to. From the few times I've talked to my dear Scooter about 42 recently, you're the only ones he can talk about, especially Huel. Man, he just goes on and on about Huel. Greatest podcast host, sexy voice, perfect pronunciation. He just won't stop most of the time. Through listening to your podcast, I found out he recently went on some foolhardy journey to go after some girl he met on the internet. Who would ever try to meet up with people they found on the internet? Disgusting and silly, if you ask me. So, if you hear from him, please reply back to me. He's one that always has caused trouble. Which reminds me, what's a game you've tried to beat but never could? Sincerely, Scooterbutt 41.
Ooh. Oh.
Is Scooterbutt 41 Mama Scoots, or is that Daddy Scoots?
Papa Scoots, as we've discovered previously.
Okay. Oh, Pappy Scoots.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't written in a while, so.
Yeah, he's never had reason to until until recently.
Yeah. I mean, also, he clearly doesn't listen, because if he did, he would know that there are many games that we have never that we have had.
Well, maybe ones that weren't covered on the show, which is all of them.
I mean, yeah. It's a quicker list if we just go over the games we can beat.
Okay.
But I think mine's a classic one where I don't even know if I've gotten past the halfway point that much, is Battletoads.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I still really liked it as a kid. I would just play, like, the first three levels over and over again. And sometimes I'd get past the third one, which is the one you have to ride the bike through. But the other ones, no. I just could never get past the ice stage, really. So, Battletoads.
That's a good one. I have beaten it only because I used a Game Genie.
Oh,
that was your crush.
And I'm proud of it. I'm proud
crush
of it.
Crush back in the day.
You're proud of it. I don't know why you're proud of it, but
I don't need a video game developer to hold me down. I need to live my life.
Tell you what to do.
Amanda, is there any game that leaps out at you for this?
That I have not beaten.
But tried to.
You know, I think probably because I was a lot worse at video games when I attempted this, so maybe I should revisit, because I've beaten all the subsequent games, but I've never beaten the original Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
Ass Creed, yeah.
Ass Creed.
Yeah. High difficulty setting.
That's a series that's still in my, I have it on my account, but I have not played any yet. I have pretty much all of them, but I hear it's good. Here's what the kids are into.
It's good junk.
I highly recommend.
Huel, what was your pick?
This may come as a shock to many, but thinking it over, I don't think I ever beat the last mission of GTA 3. I remember, I think there's a train involved, and a lot of, like, having to aim with a rocket launcher, and I just never could beat it. And that was a while ago, and I probably couldn't do it now either.
See, I didn't even really get super deep into Grand Theft Auto 3 because I just found it awkward to shoot. And
right.
I don't know.
I think that's what made it hard.
Yeah. Except for the latest game in the series, the fifth one, I liked the story, and I managed to get through all of that game. But even then, like, once I finished it, I was like, done after another 5 hours or so. I mean, I realize that sounds like, oh, you beat it and then 5 hours, but that's really not that much as compared to other people who really get into Grand Theft Auto. So
that's not even counting the multiplayer.
Oh yeah,
for five.
Yeah, I barely got into that at all. Like, I just was like, eh, this is like the single player, but with no deep story. So
yeah,
I wasn't having it.
I avoided it.
Amanda, did you receive any emails this week? Which would be weird since we did not publicize that you would be on the show at all.
No, I did not. I am not a doctor, but if anybody wants to send me an email, I would be happy to answer.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, you heard it from Amanda, who only has a nursing degree, that you need to keep questions, no doctor questions for her. So, I received one email, which is, "Hey there, sweet baby boys of your parents' basement. I love the show. It really keeps me warm on the cold nights. I know that Todd and Huel love story-driven games, so this question is mostly for them. Would they rather kiss Princess Toadstool or Zelda? Forever yours, Luigi."
Hmm.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Luigi?
Interesting signature.
It just says Luigi, so it could be Mario's brother or Mario's brother, or it could just be a proud Italian-American.
Or Italian. I'm sure we have international reach over the internets.
I don't know. He didn't include a picture of a boot or like a drawing of his country as a boot, so I don't think that's it. I think he's an American.
The email wasn't covered in marinara sauce.
God. Oh, we're not going to be popular in Italy at this point. So, would you guys rather kiss Princess Toadstool or Zelda?
Well, from what I found in the Zelda series, Princess Zelda's a cold bitch, so I'd have to go with Princess Toadstool.
Okay, Todd.
This means putting my mouth on on somebody else.
Yes. Now you
say no thanks.
Oh,
fair enough.
All right. It's an interesting look into your life because you have two children, three children.
Yeah, well, but you don't need to touch mouths to do that.
Wait, no. What?
How else does the stork know who to give babies to if they don't see you kissing?
It's a fair point.
I put a ring on it.
Okay. That's just silly. Come on. Anyways. Todd, did you receive any asks for the Sweet Boys this week?
You know, I do have one more ask, and it's a good thing. I was waiting until we could get more of a female perspective on the show, which is great.
Oh boy,
for this ask.
Get ready.
So it's time once again to ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write into us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. Mm-hmm. So Anonymous writes, is she just lazy, parentheses, things women feel they don't have to do?
Oh, no.
They write, again, my wife is on this trip where she thinks that there are certain things she's just not supposed to do. Tonight, she walks in room I was in and asks me if I was going to pick up her son from work. I told her there was something wrong with her picking him up. She thinks the gas in her car is so valuable and mine isn't. His job is 4 miles down the road. She has always had this thing to where women shouldn't be out after a certain time because it's just unsafe. She then walks away in a huff because now she can't just put on her PJs and crawl into bed while I stay up late and go get him. A few minutes later, she comes back into the living room and asks me, was there a problem with me picking up my clothes in the morning? We usually just throw our dirty clothes on a pile in the floor, and she usually picks them up and takes them to the laundry room. Granted, when the alarm goes off in the morning, she runs straight to the shower, and I'm the one making up the bed every day and then placing all 15 or 20 pillows back on it. I'm not just making up my side. I make the whole bed. But
whoa.
Now she has a problem picking up all the dirty clothes, which usually is just a pair of pants or a shirt and some socks. Is she being lazy to get me to do the thing she doesn't want to do, then play the woman's card like, it's just not safe for me to be out after a certain time. She doesn't have a problem leaving the house in the morning in the dark to go to work 16 miles away. But going 4 miles down the road is unsafe for a woman to be out by herself?
Hmm. Oh, and it just ends there?
It just ends, yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of...
I guess the question is she just lazy?
It's a lot of hot geography talk there, a lot of mileage included in that.
Yeah, I got
and a lot of pillows. A lot of pillows, 15 or 20 pillows.
Oh, that's not nearly enough pillows. But is it safe to assume that these people are they have a car? She's not walking the 16 miles?
Yeah, she has a car, and
they talked about gasoline.
They both have cars here.
The value of gasoline was important.
Yeah, she thinks the gas in her car is so valuable and mine isn't.
Well, maybe she drives a Hummer and he drives the Prius.
Oh.
He sounds like a Prius driver. Am I right, fellas?
He does.
Lady.
I have mixed feelings on this situation. At first, I was, you know, sort of enraged that he wasn't sharing in the household responsibilities.
Because there should be an
equal division of labor. But I think that this woman sounds pretty lazy by throwing out that it's unsafe to drive after dark. Because you're in the car, which presumably has lights and locked doors. So, yeah.
May I interject?
Yeah.
I think it's very obvious that she is concerned and worried about the very real threat of vampires.
Oh.
but only for her, not for her son, who's the person getting picked up. He can fend for himself.
Well, it's known that they like to prey on women. They seduce them into their lives, mm-hmm. and then turn them into vampires themselves, or just feed on their blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't blame her.
Okay. So
I think that's the only situation where this is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Vampirism.
I mean, after dark. I mean, that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also werewolves. So
it's only like once a month.
You didn't even mention werewolves. Well, they're still out once a month.
Yeah. The other days she could pick her son up.
Yeah. Tell her son to use a sick day on when it's full moon.
Yep. Perfect.
I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot of laziness to go around, that they should both take a look in the mirror and then see that huge, disgusting pile of dirty clothes behind them, apparently.
Yeah.
That they just throw on the ground at the end of the day. How about you spend the $3 on a plastic hamper? So That's my solution.
Well said.
Yeah, forget about the sun. Let the werewolves raise him. You guys need to focus on you for a little bit.
Maybe the sun should drive himself. He's old enough to work.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And it is only 4 miles. Just get a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that seems like it could be a little dangerous at night with the werewolves and vampires out. But
you don't want to be exposed. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think
great. I think we solved that ask.
Yeah, did you share your thoughts on that, Todd? Or
no, I think you guys nailed it. I'm just mystified by all their dirty laundry and how making the bed balances everything out.
I'm sure he does a really good job. He probably does a better job than me. Hotels where you can't even
like he said, he doesn't just make his side, he makes the whole bed.
It's very important.
Actually, I have some advice for him. Just make half the bed from now on, and I think that's entirely fair.
That really sends a message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very passive aggressive.
She's gonna be so upset when she sees that sheet not on one corner of that twin bed that they share. So anyways, I think that's a good wholesome place to end it for the night. Todd, did you have anything else you wanted to share this week?
Sure. Jedi do not fight for peace. That's only a slogan and is as misleading as slogans always are. Jedi fight for civilization because only civilization creates peace. We fight for justice because justice is the fundamental bedrock of civilization. An unjust civilization is built upon sand. It does not long survive a storm. Am I right, guys?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Couldn't have said it better.
I didn't know that there were Jedi units in civilization, but I probably
yeah, just it's far down the tech tree.
Yeah, it's probably in Civ 5, whereas Amanda noted earlier, like you normally beat the game by like opening an opera house or something stupid like that. So Huel, any thoughts here?
No, after this, I was just going to go build up my phalanx.
All right. Sounds good. Take your chariot there. Amanda, thanks so much for guesting on this week's show. Anything you want to sign off with here?
Thanks for having me on. Hopefully we can do it again. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any projects to plug? Are you going to be at Yuck Yucks of Toronto or anything like that? Or?
I will be running the New York City Marathon on November 6th, if anybody wants to see me potentially not survive. Yeah.
All right. That has a lot of implications.
It's ominous.
Yeah. Yep. I'll try to report back afterwards so you guys know how it went.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, make sure you finish. It's 26.2.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to remember that .2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They get you.
Yeah. When I was training for the 5K I did horribly in, I had only been running 3 miles. So.
Oh, and then you got to do the .1.
Yeah. 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 I was like, oh, this isn't fun.
Undertrained.
Yep. All right. On that note, it's time to sign off, and here's a snifferoo from next week's show.